Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Whether due to fertility issues, being with a partner who doesn't want children, or simply not being in a position where you've met the right person yourself, many people who are involuntarily childless face a deep grief and the mourning of a child or children that they will never have or have never had. One of our listeners, Sharon, did get in touch with us and she asked us, would we talk about this? Because it's something very challenging for those who are going through it. And as this actually is World Childless Week, from the 10th to the 16th of September, we thought this is the week to do it. And I am going to be talking to Sharon in just a couple of moments. But to discuss all of this, I'm joined by the founder of World Childless Week, Stephanie Phillips. Stephanie, you're very welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Not at all. Tell me, why did you feel that it was necessary to raise awareness around this issue of somebody who would be involuntarily childless?
Several different reasons. I found out at, well, I was age 29, sorry, it's not 29, 39 when I couldn't have children. And it took me about 5 or 6 years before I could find any support, and it was through Facebook groups online. So when I left, basically, the doctors, knowing that we wouldn't have children, there was no offer of support there. You sort of just dropped.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, we're grieving the children we never had. And the support that I found was really important. Over the next 2 years, I sort of looked in research into different things and found out there were 2 fertility awareness weeks, but they didn't cover the options of what happens when you don't have the dream of that child. So there was nowhere out there publicly voicing the opinion of the childless. And I thought if I raise this week, then hopefully it will start to raise awareness of the childless, which are actually a minority, but a fast-growing minority.
Yeah.
1 in 5 women reach 45 childless now on average. So I felt we needed to do something more focal to hopefully bring people to support a lot quicker.
Okay. You said you found out at the GP, so were your reasons for not having a child that you obviously wanted, they were medical, were they?
Well, it's a mixture, I guess, in a way, because circumstances meant that I didn't meet my husband until I was about 33 years old.
Yeah.
And we didn't start trying for a child until I was after 35, so already, you know, our fertility options were going downhill. So when we got to have the tests and things, and they found out we actually both had problems.
Yeah.
So the doctor very uncaringly, looking at a desk and mumbling, said something along the lines of, well, if he manages to get you pregnant, it's unlikely you'll carry full term. And then that was it. We were scooted out of the office and left to do what we had to do.
Okay. That sounds extremely bold and insensitive, the way that was put to you.
Yes, and unfortunately, I'm certainly not the only case. I constantly hear of people in every situation of life where they face comments that really can hurt, and they hurt more when it's from somebody who should understand your circumstances when it's in a medical profession, as that lady did then. So yeah, it's a sad thing, but it's something many people face on a daily basis.
Insensitivity around this issue, Stephanie, how bad is it? Because obviously, coming from a doctor, it's pretty grim, because you would hope that you could go to somebody like that for a bit of help and support, mm-hmm. and all that, but obviously not when they're so kind of cold and indifferent. But am I right in guessing that lots of people appear to be very insensitive towards people without children, making all kinds of presumptions? And as I said in the beginning, having not for everybody, some people don't want children, and I completely get that too. But for those who do and aren't having them for whatever reason, it is often a situation of grief. And am I right in thinking that awful things pretty much are said to you?
Yes, and unfortunately, I don't think it's always a case of intentionally trying to hurt somebody. It's quite often a flippant comment that you say in general that you don't realise that who you're speaking to, it might have a completely different meaning. That's heartbreaking, because it's simple things like when you meet somebody for the first time, usually most women, the first question they'll say is, do you have children? Rather than just talking about something in general, your job, how you look, what you're doing today, where you are, it's have you have children. this is something that will come up in general conversation as you talk. You don't need to actually ask the question, because straight away, if you can ask the question, depending on where you are in your sort of your grief, is how you sort of answer that question. Because I used to always do a joke and go, oh, I don't need children. I've got a husband and two cats. And I make light of it.
Yeah, minimise it.
Because I didn't know. Yeah, but why should I have to make a joke about something that is so personal to me?
Yeah. You know, and also you're almost trying to make that person feel okay for having put their size 12s in your life. And maybe you shouldn't let them off the hook so easily. Maybe you should say that's a very personal comment. And thanks for dragging my grief into the conversation.
Yeah. I'm very much more confident now, and I will say no. And depending on how the conversation goes, people will get an honest and frank answer for me. But again, not everybody's in that comfort zone to do that, because quite often when you say no, I found there is generally three reactions. And that is, first of all, people say, oh, have you considered adoption? Well, I can guarantee you that every single person who is childless, not by choice, will have considered every single option available to them. And also, why would somebody who's gone through the trials of trying to have a child themselves and finding out that circumstances or their body are going against them, then be told, go to an adoption agency? Because we all want to give birth, most of us. If we didn't want children, there wouldn't be anybody up for adoption, because all of these parents would have already adopted them. But also, if we've been turned or down by our bodies, why do we want to go down the route of being turned down by an organisation?
Yeah, no, it's a very complicated issue, isn't it? As in,
it's
not for everybody to go that road. Stay with me for a moment, Stephanie. My guest is Stephanie Phillips, and she's the founder of World Childless Week. I also have Sharon, one of our listeners, on the line. Sharon, you got in contact with us on Lunchtime Live because you wanted us to raise this issue on air, and there's lots of texts coming in this too. I'll get to them in just a moment. Tell me what your story is around all of this.
Well, thank you for highlighting Worldwide Childless Week, Kira. I got in contact because I didn't feel there was anything happening, particularly in Ireland. I wasn't seeing any recognition of it. And I spoke to your lovely Emma, and she persuaded me that I would be in good hands telling my story. And my story is just one perspective on childlessness. Yeah. We're a married couple, and we found out at a certain point that without surgery and IVF, we wouldn't be able to have children.
Yeah.
And it was quite a shock. We weren't expecting it. Nobody does. And, of course, we merrily went off the IVF route thinking, yes, we'll do this once or twice and it'll be wonderful. We'll have the baby and everything will go back to normal.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it didn't work out like that. We spent 12 years doing surgeries, IVF, everything that you can think of we did, from the silly to the wonderful. And it just didn't work for us. And it was something that I really became aware of, that every time people talk about IVF or fertility treatments, particularly in the media, they round the story off with the wonderful miracle baby at the end.
Yeah.
And I really felt it really does a disservice to the many people who walk away from the clinics really feeling quite broken. Time catches up with you, health, multiple fertility treatments are just not really very good for you.
It's a huge, physically it's very hard on your health. Financially, it's very hard on your wallet.
Yes.
But there is an enormous strain, is my understanding, for couples when they're going through it, because particularly for one or other of them, and often I think it probably is the woman, but I wouldn't like to judge on that one. But there is that constant craving for a child. I mean, I've had it myself, but I'm lucky I've had kids. But I know when I wanted one, it's there and it's kind of tugging at you all the time. And that puts quite the strain and the stress on relationships, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I look back now and I think of the 12 years we went through this as a giant storm. And I actually can't remember parts of it because I was just so engrossed in this desire to have this family that was being denied to us. And really, I think the only word I can use for it now, it was truly awful. It was physically harrowing, emotionally so sorrowful. And as you pointed out, which a lot of people forget, financially, it was disastrous. And it's something we're still paying for now, and we will until we retire. We just have to accept that. It was a huge gamble. And unfortunately, it didn't work out for us. I mean, saying that for anyone who is going through IVF, if you do get the baby, that's wonderful and, you know, so happy for you. But it is a gamble and not everybody comes away with the baby.
No.
And you do have to face the life afterwards.
Sharon, I asked Stephanie the same question that I'm going to ask you. Is there a lot of insensitivity around this? Do people make remarks that cut you to the quick and kind of, you know, stop you in your tracks and you're supposed to suck them up? Does that happen much?
Yes, definitely, Kira. Again, I would be with Stephanie on that. I don't think people do it intentionally. It is lack of thought. And maybe for some people, they've never encountered someone who's had fertility difficulties or had to go through treatments. So, you know, it's really not on their radar and they just don't think. I mean, you know, one of the common ones can be when you say you don't have children, they'll say, oh, you can have one of mine or I'm tired of them. And it's so insensitive.
Yeah.
And as Stephanie said, you know, in a social setting, it's not always appropriate to start reeling out your story or you feel you're bringing down the mood. So you laugh along with it. And then, you know, you might go off to the toilets and cry for a minute and then come back and be happy again. You know, at 51 now, I'm quite past the raw emotion. But there were times definitely like that.
Okay. I'm going to bring Stephanie back in. Stephanie, you, I don't know how old you yourself are, but how is life for you now that you are past, I suppose, the phase where you were trying and trying and you're, I suppose, have moved into the phase of some kind of acceptance? How are things now in terms of that?
Yeah, I'm also 51 years old, so I've sort of gone on quite a few years since it happened. I think there's acceptance to different things on different days. You can be completely, fully fine with everything. And then it'll be a silly little thing. Like I'll see, say, a mother and a child walking along the street, and then the child will look at the mum and smile. You just think, oh, the child's never going to do that to me. It can be the little moments and the little tiniest of triggers that sometimes can then pull on your heartstrings.
Yeah.
Generally, I'm sort of tougher and stronger now, and I find myself analysing why I've got upset. But it's the things that you don't expect that often hurt. But you can sort of say, oh, I'm past it sort of now because I'm getting to fit, or I've gone past 50. But I'm now at this stage where all of my friends are starting to become grandparents.
Okay.
So
that's another loss then, really, isn't it?
It's the second wave almost of, I'm not in amongst friends becoming parents, I'm amongst them becoming grandparents. So they're the ones doing the parent jokes, but also the grandparent jokes. So it's a constant thing throughout your life that you can't get rid of, and you don't want to get rid of people. You know, you love having children in my life as such. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's part of who I am. But it doesn't mean that it's always easy to be in the situations when people are talking about them.
Yeah. Stay with me, both of you, because loads of people are texting. Someone says, wow, this is the first time I've ever heard involuntary childlessness being discussed in the media. Thank you for giving us a voice. We are such a child-centred country. Being childless, not by choice, is very isolating. I've struggled with infertility and undergoing extensive treatments for a decade. It is devastating that family, friends and society still treat you like you are less than because you are not a mother. We have moved so far as a nation in terms of inclusion and compassion. Why is this issue not recognised as a source of shame and pain for those who are different simply because they couldn't conceive or carry a baby to term? Where is the compassion for us? Someone else says, this is not just for childless women. Sometimes if you only have one child, people think it's okay to ask, when will you have the next one, regardless of your personal difficulties? We have suffered several miscarriages and that's ignored. Someone else says, when is the government going to fund fertility treatments? I don't believe there is a plan at the moment, but I don't know about that. And someone else says, myself and my wife struggled for 15 years to have a baby and have had to listen to people ask us when we were going to hurry up and have that child. Luckily, we did have a little girl 3 years ago. Sadly, oh God, our daughter passed away just before her second birthday, and now we have the same insensitivity asking when we're going to have another one. We now have the grief of losing a child and not being able to have one more. Good God, that poor person. I'm so sorry to that texter. I'm going to just bring you back in, Sharon, because we're doing this item because you got in touch with us and it turned out to be involuntarily childless week. And I think it's a really important item. I said it to Stephanie, I'm saying it to you. Where are you at now in terms of life? You're 51. Obviously, you know, the hole that is left by being involuntarily childless exists. But we tend, even when we're grieving, to fill those holes in our lives with other things. How are things for you now?
say in general, very good. I am very lucky. I have a wonderful marriage, wonderful husband. I used to call him my rock, but after going through all of this, I say he's my diamond, absolute support the whole way. And I think there is a desire sometimes when you go through something like this, you feel you have to do something big, something to replace what you've lost. And I've started to come around to thinking it in a different way. I think we're still good. We can have just the mediocre life that we probably always would have had. But it's to find contentment within yourself, to seize back your own joy, to find your enjoyment in your days, and just to live that life that we probably would have had, but it's just without children.
To be honest, even people with children also have mediocre lives, let me tell you. But look, thank you. Thank you very much, Sharon, for highlighting this with you. And thank you for putting this on our agenda. I want to just bring you back in briefly, Stephanie, for people who might be looking for support, who are listening now. I mean, when I'm reading these comments, some of them are heartbreaking. Someone says, regarding insensitive comments, myself and my husband are childless, not by choice. It is so frustrating, the response we get from people when we say we've finished with fertility treatments after 5 rounds of IVF. We're moving on with our life, just us. When we've told people, their response is normally, oh, you never know, or oh, you can never say never. It's very hard when people comment on our lifestyle. We have no children. We're not going to sit around doing nothing all the time. We work hard, so we enjoy our time off. We go on holidays, or we go to concerts, or we eat out. But people kind of judge us. I think people should mind their own business. And thank you for highlighting this. Hopefully it might make people stop and think. Yeah, hopefully it will. But Stephanie, just briefly and lastly, if people want support, if people want somewhere to kind of go and maybe share their situation, where's the best place? Is it still places like Facebook?
Yep. We've actually got, because it is World Childless Week, there is a website. So if they go to www.worldchildlessweek.net, they'll find that we've got different sections on there. We've got all the articles that we're releasing for the 7 days of this week. But there are also a community section. We've actually got support groups on there, social groups on there, so people can have a look. A lot of them are on Facebook. There's a few that aren't. But what I'd say is, if you're not a Facebook fan, you can still join. And you could set up an anonymous account. You don't need to actually have your friends know it's you.
Yeah.
But you could just join support groups and join a few of them and find the one that fits you, because they are all slightly different.
Okay.
And they're all at different stages. But there is free support on Facebook that is just amazing, and I will push it every day.
All right.
Because, you know, there's people we have joining who are in their 60s and 70s and saying it's the first time in their life
that they've talked,
that they felt understood, and they're starting to grieve.
Look, thank you so much. My guest there is Stephanie Phillips. She's the founder of World Childless Week. 53106 is the text, and I'd love to hear from you. Someone has texted and said involuntarily childlessness is more of a problem for men than women. I don't know that it is, but I don't know that it isn't. And one of our listeners, Tim, is on the line. Tim, what's your experience around all of this?
I suppose the hardest part that I would have experienced is when we went through infertility would have been the advice that people that you know quite closely and strangers give you. They feel the need to give you advice, even if you want it or not, or ask for it or not. So.
Yeah.
Some of it can be, you know, hurtful. So, I mean, you know, like God has chosen this path for you, for example. You know, down to the fact that, if, you know, just relax. We know of a couple that had similar problems and they just didn't stop trying. And if you stop trying, you know, it'll happen. You'll get pregnant.
Yeah, you're just too uptight to have kids. Is that what they're like?
Yeah, pretty much. And I've heard that from numerous people. Even friends, you know, have said this. You know, you're sitting there biting your lip and going, you know, they obviously think that we're idiots, that we can't think for ourselves. You know, it's a bit of that. So, you know, and even from a doctor's experience, we would have went through a number of infertility cycles in Ireland. We went through one in the UK, and we even went across to Stanford in the US.
Okay.
Seen medical specialists over there. So we went to a place called the Turok Clinic in San Francisco that specialized in male infertility to see if there was anything on my end. And he just did a quick examination. My brother actually paid for that, and the cost, he was charging around $700 an hour. And he pretty much just did a few basic tests and then said that, no, it's all her fault.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yes. I've like heard it in the room with us and everything. So, you know, it's bizarre.
It's awful. It's actually awful to hear. And I know some of the things that are said, oh, you can keep trying, or you know, just people are struggling to come up with things, and they're not always cruel. Yes. They're a bit insensitive because they don't know what to say. So I give them the benefit of the doubt. But you would want a little better from medical professionals than, oh, it's all her fault. Like, that's horrendous.
Yes. I'd love to give everyone a bit of advice here as well. So it was something that we went through. We spent a lot of money before we found out that there was problems on both sides. So my wife would have thyroid issues and anti-immune issues. And I have what's called translocated DNA, which means that a certain amount of my sperm count is inactive, but some of it's fine. So, but, you know, there's about 20% that's good and 80% that's bad. But we only found that out after we went through three SIMS IVFs, and then we decided we'd go to Lister Clinic in the UK.
Yeah.
And then they pointed out, have you both done DNA tests? And we looked at them as if they had two heads.
Okay.
What do you mean DNA tests? And they're saying, well, SIMS didn't do this. And they were gobsmacked. And they're saying, well, how do you know you're actually, you know, compatible fertility-wise?
Yeah.
And, you know, it only cost £150. But we spent the guts of, like, I think about 19,000 with the SIMS, and they hadn't done this. And when we went back to the question, then they said, well, it's optional. And I said, well, you never, you know, gave us the option. And they looked back and said, well, we're sorry about that.
Yeah. It,
you know, so I had with SIMS is I was a customer, whereas Lister, I was a patient.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, you know, I don't want to stick it to SIMS or any individual clinic, but I totally, you know, because they're not here to say they're whatever.
No, they have done this as practice now. So they weren't doing it in
back in the day.
2011, yeah. They weren't.
Yeah. But I also, I totally get your experience is hard and a hard road. Thank you for coming on and talking to us. I think it's really important to point out that it isn't just women who go through infertility, or that women are the ones who want the children. It's often men and women in a couple who are you know, desperate to have a child within that relationship, and it's dreadful. Tim, thank you very much for speaking to us today. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who's spoken to us today, but 53106 is the text line. It is involuntary childlessness week. I'd love to know if you've experienced something along these lines, and I can only imagine from some of the texts that are coming in, some of them actually have had good experiences, I should point out, with SIMS. People are actually texting that now, but what kind of things were said to you? I'd love to hear, because I saw some of it's mean, some of it's cruel, some of it's insensitive, and some of it's just stupidity, I think. But I'd love to know what you think, and thank you to everyone who took part in that discussion.